Knowing that the enemy, he can't stop what God's doing. So what he wants to do is to torment your life. Well, his crazy attacks. Everybody say crazy attacks. How many had some of those crazy attacks lately? Yeah, crazy. They're crazy. Just absolutely crazy. That's what, I mean, we just walk around and people tell us what's going on in their life. We say, that's just crazy. And they're crazy attacks. But remember what Dutch Sheets told us, that said they, those attacks were going to be crazy and vicious. But he said the answers and the victories are going to become quicker and easier. Somebody say quicker and easier for the glory of God. So that's what we're looking for, is for it to come quicker and easier. I want to talk to you tonight. We're going back talking about the power of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We've been taking our Wednesday evenings especially, and we're just looking at ways that the Holy Spirit can deal with our lives. Because I tell you, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in your life. But then you have another opportunity to be with what the Bible calls to be filled with the Spirit. And that's an infilling of what you've already received at salvation, but you become filled with it. Then there's a constant life goal to be constantly filled and refilled. And I found that sometimes that refilling needs to be on a daily basis. But it becomes an exciting life, a powerful life, where you're not serving the Lord legalistically, but you're serving the Lord by the Spirit of life that's working in you and working through you. And it's just exciting. Man, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's working in you. And what we're doing on Wednesday night is trying to help us, me, to become aware, greater aware, of the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so I can find unique ways. See, because a lot of times, we totally miss God. We totally miss what God's trying to do because we try to hold Him over here in this natural realm. And God is over here in the spirit realm. Because the Bible says God is a what? Spirit. God is a spirit. He's in the spiritual realm. Now, He's not one of those spirits that 10,000 of them sit on the head of a pen, whatever crazy talk that is. But God is a spirit. It's a spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. And really, the physical realm is controlled by the spiritual realm. So many people think they're in control of their destiny. They're far from their control of the destiny. The control of your destiny is coming out of that spiritual arena, spiritual area. The Bible says, just like tonight, you may have come here and say, boy, I drove safe. I took care of myself coming here. You forgot that the Lord said there's 10,000 angels, or there's a multitude of angels that's encamped around about you. You forgot that what really took care of you, what really kept you safe, what really brought you over that. And so, because the spiritual realm is what governs and takes care of us in this natural realm. Now, in the spiritual realm, there's two different sides to it. There's the darkness and there's the light. Now, Jesus is the light. Somebody, He's the light. And the enemy, Satan and his kingdom, they're the forces of the darkness. And so there's two influences that come to us out of that spiritual realm. And what so many people are unaware, it's like me and so much of my life, and I'm just waking up every day, it seems like, to a new awareness of the Holy Spirit. And then I find out how that spiritual realm of darkness has manipulated me. And how the spiritual realm of light has trying to bless me and trying to help me and trying to be a part of my life to help me overcome things in this world. So I don't want to be manipulated. I'm tired of that enemy and his influence. I mean, a lot of times we don't even realize how the enemy is trying to influence our thinking, how to influence our dream life, how to bring fear upon us. I was just talking to one of our precious, precious young ladies from this church just a few minutes ago. And she said how there had been such a fear that had been coming on her, fear over her grandchildren. And said how thankful she was that we'd call this time of fasting. Well, I tell you, the enemy wants us to, what God wants us to handle in faith, then you have to really get a hold to God to handle it in faith, because the devil is trying all hard as he can to cause us to handle it in fear. Now, in that spiritual realm, you got to know that fear is the air that the devil breathes. The more you fear, the more gusto that the devil has in your life, or the stronger the devil is. The more you have faith, which is the opposite of fear, the more you have faith. Now, faith is the air that God breathes. It's my spiritual man breathes that faith. So if I'm over here and I'm made a decision in my heart, I'm tired with that fear. I'm going to leave that mental agony that's embracing fear. I'm going to move over here to this realm of the spirit. I'm going to believe God. And there's certain things that are associated with that fear, and it's worry and doubt and unbelief and discouragement and being down in the dumps and all that side. And then you begin to break free from that. Then your emotions are kind of going through some kind of traumatic experience. Because, see, your emotions are in your life in direct proportion, are in direct way of what you believe. So if you believe, or if fear has been such a part of your life, then your emotions are going to be so controlled by fear. That's why you feel fear. It's because we have first believed fear. But what we want to do is change. Everybody say change. I want to get my influence from God over here. So if I'm going to get my influence from God, I'm going to believe the Lord. Then eventually, then I will, my emotions and my physical being, that's called crucifying my flesh, it will become more changed over here. Then I will begin to experience the emotions that God wants me to have, such as peace and joy and the thrill of being alive in God. I mean, there's wonderful emotions in God's arena. And what's happened is, because the devil sold us his bill of goods for so long, then people are so prone to operate over in fear. That's why your feelings are so locked up in fear and discouragement, depression. Lord knows I've had my bill of those. And I'm tired. How many's tired of that kind of life? And we want to live over here in another kind of life. We want to live over here breathing the breath of God. and the breath of God is the breath of faith, the trust in the Lord. And there's a peace that's in His kingdom there. So if I believe in God, there's a peace and a joy that will begin to flood. Immediately I can tell whether I'm believing God. Because my peace and my joy is not dependent on my circumstances. The devil's trying to sell you a bill of goods. Your peace and your joy have nothing to do with your circumstances. Your peace and your joy have everything to do with what you believe. That's why you can stand in a storm and you can have peace in that storm. And you can have joy in the midst of that storm. And what will happen is, if you will have peace, if you're determined, I'm going to be a person like Jesus, I'm going to learn how to sleep in that boat in the middle of that storm. I'm going to learn how to find a rest, even though it's in a great storm. And then you begin to operate like Jesus. And before you know it, then that peace that's in you is able to come out of you and to steal that whole storm. So many times we're asking God to come rescue us. And God said, I'm right there in the rescue form. And that rescue form is right inside you. And so we can allow the Lord. Everybody say, just believe God. Just believe the Lord. Just believe God. Now, that right there will probably throw away probably 90% of our thoughts. And so, because we're going to believe God. Because the enemy so invaded us to where so many people's thoughts are just so negative. Just so negative. Just so negative. Just so negative. I tell you what, you can have depression if you want it. I don't want it. I lived under the torment of that thing for years and years. I know what it is to be in a horrible dungeon of it for at least 2 years of your life. I know what it is to have to fight suicidal spirits and dealing. But I tell you, I'm tired of that. I don't want that side anymore. That's why in a moment's time, man, I am an aggressive warrior against depression. Because I know the darkness that stuff can do to you. But I know the joy that can come in your heart through believing God and trusting the Lord. Wow. And so in the process, that the Holy Spirit is helping us to come more into that arena of the Spirit. And I've talked to you about that. The Holy Spirit brings us into a higher level of thinking. Now, you've got to be able to be aware of it and look for it, or it'll go by you and you'll miss it. See, we're so used to being harassed by the devil. Then when we find out, when we try to yield to the Holy Spirit, there has no harassment. There's a gentle leading. And because that we're not used to a gentle leading, we're used to a hard taskmaster, then so many times we can miss the most precious things of the Lord. Because it's that, the Bible said, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. As Elijah, he went and God wasn't in the earthquake. And he wasn't in fire, but what he found God in was that still small voice. And so, see, the enemy operates his kingdom out of all these threats and all this pressure. So we've been so much listening to the enemy to where that we come into God's kingdom. We say, Holy Spirit, control. And he says, I'm not the controller. I'm the leader. I'm the one that's helping you. I'm your shepherd. I'm your guide. Now, he wants to control us, but he wants to control us through the volition of our will, submitted to him. God, he wants us to submit our will to him. And then he can have a control. But he's not a hard taskmaster. So you can miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate if you're not careful. And so, first thing is, he brings a higher level of thinking. He will bring things into you that only he knows. And you've got to begin to look for that. You've got to begin to, in every situation you're in every situation, begin to look for a higher level of knowledge than what is learned. Because what is learned is physical, comes out of this physical earth. But what God wants to impart to you is a gift of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. It's a portion of knowledge that drops in from heaven. Now, he don't give you complete knowledge, because if you had complete knowledge, then you would set yourself up and be your own king. But he gives you a portion of knowledge. So we're always dependent on the Holy Spirit. The Lord come along and give you a word of knowledge and say, well, now what to do with this, Lord? You know, now what to do with this? I had one of the greatest blessings of my life back years ago. When I was able to be with oil robbers in a private setting to him. I was with 350 other people. But we'd gather together in a supper with him there at the top of the City of Faith. And as we were gathered there, he was wanting to tell us some personal things about his life. And one thing, it just impressed me so much, because you can look around Oil Robbers University and you can see what a huge, massive undertaking that God had brought through those people. Took a little country bumpkin and did something so wonderful through. And he said, the way this whole thing is built, he said, what we had out here, we had a forest. And said, my wife and I, we would go and sit in that forest every day. Said, we didn't know what to do. We didn't have any means to do it. We had no power to do it. He said, I could not make it happen. He said, so we would go and sit in that forest every day. Said, I would speak in tongues and she would interpret. Or either she would speak in tongues and I would interpret. And God told us everything to do, step by step by step by step, for the glory of God. That's wonderful to know, you know. And now I tell you what, if the Lord knows how to build a great university, guess what God wants to do for our lives? And it comes as a word. As he said, every day they would just park their cars and just go and sit in those woods. And that now those woods has became great Oil Robbers University. We'd go in those woods. And I would sit there and the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. And I would speak in tongues. And then my wife would give out an interpretation of those tongues. And God would tell us what to do that day. And then then she would speak in tongues. We'd go out the other day and she was speaking. I'd get the interpretation. So God does it spiritually. And what you don't know, what we don't know is this. A lot of this great world that's come forth from the kingdom of God came in a real spiritual way. And the enemy's tried to hide those facts. The enemy tries to hide those facts that a lot of this wonderful world that we know as God's world came in ultra spiritual ways. And what the devil wants us to do is feel odd if we believe in the things of the Spirit. So God wants to give us a higher level of thinking. He wants to give us a higher level of thinking. And then it's talked about he wants to bring us into a higher level of feeling. Because the Holy Spirit, where that we have five physical senses, the Holy Spirit has. The Lord wants us to learn how to sense his approval. He wants us to be able to sense his disapproval. He wants us to be able to sense when he's pleased. He wants us to be able to sense when we need to stop. And he wants us to be able to sense when we can move forward. He wants us to be able to sense when we can turn to the right. I mean, he wants us such a clarity in our life, he can tell us to go and join ourselves to that chariot because there's a eunuch there that needs us to talk to him. I mean, God wants a clarity in our life. And so, know and begin to look for that. As you operate through the day, begin to just look for the Holy Spirit to move into your area of feelings. And you will begin to feel things of the Spirit. One of the easiest things to feel, the easiest way to train is to feel conviction. Conviction, every person here that's been saved, you felt that. You understood what it is to feel a conviction. Well, that's the Holy Spirit letting you know that something needs to be changed. And that same way that He brings a conviction on your heart, then He's able to bring other directions on your heart and your feelings. So begin to look at it. And if you'll begin to search it, we've talked about how that God can give you a green light and a red light. You'll begin to sense, I can move forward. This is good. Or you'll begin to sense, no, I don't need to progress here. And the Lord really put you to the test there. He'll let you see, He'll let you have some things before you that look so good. I mean, you just think, man, this got to be candy. I mean, it's just so good. But in your spirit, you'll sense a restraint. And you'll sense, I can't do that. And then for your family, then to begin to recognize and honor that to where that, Lane and I have learned over the many years, and we're learning more all the time, that when, even though we've got great plans, if one of us sense that we don't need to do something, we just determine it's better off to stop. And then it's better off to obey that voice of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Amen. And then there's this higher level of seeing. God not only, there's several of these areas we're going to be talking about, but the higher level of seeing. Now, I'm a seer. Is any others up here that you feel like the greatest way that God communicates with you is through seeing? You see things, you either see visions or you see it in dreams. I mean, that's a wonderful life. I want everybody to do that. It's a wonderful experience. Now, some people hear more, and then some people feel more, although the other areas open, and then some people see more. What I mean, you can see some spiritual things. The Bible said it's right and normal. Book of Acts, it's right and normal to see visions and to have spiritual dreams. That's the norm for believers. The normal believer is supposed to see visions and supposed to be able to receive spiritual dreams. That doesn't mean every dream is spiritual, because what? There's two kingdoms out there. And because one tries to influence at times, and you got to begin to recognize. If a way I'd use to detect it is this, if a dream brings fear, anxiety, pressure, or depression, I know what side that thing's from. And then over here on this other side, that the Lord can even show you hard things. But when God speaks to you, there will be a faith that will be associated with it. And that a faith to believe that this thing's going to be okay. This thing's going to come out all right. This thing's going to work out for His glory. So there's that sense. And so it's just real important to allow the Lord and begin to look for God in these ways. All right, then there's a higher level. Everybody say a higher level of hearing. I want to read you a scripture here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, verse 4. It says, I was caught up, Paul says, I was caught up through the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. I mean, that's a real vision. If you can't tell whether this thing is physical or if you're seeing it spiritual. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, there's this, the place I walk in the spirit. He said, and I whether I was in my body or somebody, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and I heard things. Everybody say, I heard things. We're supposed to be able to hear things. And I heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. You understand that? God has a way of communicating that's beyond words. Now, what he was showing Paul, Paul said, notice what he said. He said, I heard it, but it wasn't her words I heard. Paul said, I heard it, but it wasn't words that I heard. I tell you, when you're talking about hearing the voice of God, some people misunderstand. They think hearing the voice of the Lord is just related to words. No, you can hear. You can hear God in a knowing. You can hear God in the wind. You understand what that said? Paul said, I heard it, but it wasn't with words. Now, Paul did hear words. So everybody say, Lord, open up my hearing where I can hear you and where I can see things. I mean, one of the most wonderful things. I'm so thankful for the gift of a seer. Almost ever since after I got saved, this began to happen in me. I've related several stories, and I try to relate a new little story when I come to you every day. But one such example is because I hope tonight that I'll close with just a few moments talking about intercession, because the importance of sensing the Spirit in the gift of intercession. But I remember in the midst of one of the hardest trials of my life, I needed to know. I did not feel that I was strong enough to handle that battle. And some of you can just jump out there and take it by faith. Well, I sensed things and feel things of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't sense that I was strong enough to handle that battle. And I remember I was sitting out there in the old church, and I was sitting on the very front pew. And I don't remember whether it was in a praise service or whether somebody else was speaking. But all of a sudden, up there, out there in the old church, we had a baptistry somewhat like it is here, but much smaller. And the Baptist area was open. And all of a sudden, there in that Baptist area, I saw a gigantic Roman soldier appear. But I knew it was Jesus. I knew. It was a sense inside me that I knew that was with the Lord. Now, I can't tell you what was happening in that service because my whole world was caught up in that vision. All of a sudden, I saw this huge, it was a gigantic, it sat on the glistening armor. It's just like I would think Jesus would be dressed like when he would go into battle. And then, right there in the midst of it, I became so startled. Because either his right arm or his left arm, I think possibly it was his right arm disattached, armor and arm and all, disattached, and it like flew through the air, and I was totally shocked because it attached to me, and the very next moment it was my arm. Then I looked, and then the other arm disattached from his body, it came hurling through the air, and it attached to my other side. And then I can't tell you, I saw his breast. His breast literally came unattached from the form that was there, those several feet ahead of me. But not only could I see it, I could feel it. There became a feeling in the realm of the Spirit. With each new attachment in me became this, I mean, I'm just talking about it. I can feel the same feeling I have for years and years. That's why I love to fight the devil. There's this feeling that's associated with that that's never left me. That when that happened, it attached to me. I felt the strength. I felt the strength of the chest of the Lord inside me. And then, total shock. That's a wonderful thing about visions. You can never tell where they're going. And it was dressed in this beautiful set of head armor. And all of a sudden, the head armor went up. And I knew I was fixing to see Jesus. But when it went up, it was me. God was telling me he's in me to win this thing for the glory of God. Amen. And I still have that same strength that comes from that. So it may not, when you start seeing, it may not start at that level. Or when you start hearing, it may not start at that level, but you start somewhere allowing the spiritual realm of God to become real to you. And allow it to become real to you and begin to change you. And have this powerful changing effect. One reason I believe that God wants to do this is because one of the greatest things that the church needs today is intercession. And I'm talking about sensing now, this higher level of sensing. Not only is there a higher level of hearing, you can take every sense that you have, There is a spiritual corresponding sense that's like that. But it's like I didn't understand it because there's things that are not sensed and they're not felt. I don't know. I didn't know what to explain them. Till just a few days ago, I love to read about heaven. And so I love to read near-death experiences that give glory to God in the process of it. And I was reading one of those, and this person said that in their visitation to heaven, there was quite a while, I think like 45 minutes or so, they was dead and they was there in heaven. But they said one of the most astounding things about heaven, it said you had, instead of having 5 senses, you had like 1,000 senses. Because literally you didn't just see water, you could feel water. Everything. You could hear everything was alive. You had saw these many more, where we're limited in this world to 5 physical senses. In that next world, it's unlimited senses. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's why things don't even make sense when we think about heaven now. You think about crystal, and you think about gold so clear, and you think about gates of pearls, because man, we're going to have senses to be able to detect and know and experience and enjoy things that we never even thought around. But that's why that as you move into the arena of the spirit, there begin to elevate you. I really believe is we begin to entangle with some of that. And we begin to entangle with heaven. That's why the Lord's Prayer said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We began to entertain heaven on earth. And as we begin to entertain heaven on earth, then it begins, some things are not sensed, some things are not heard, but you know it. It's just, you can't explain it. Just like Paul said, I can't explain it. I don't know whether I was in the physical, I don't know whether I was in the spiritual. I mean, Paul said it was such a catching away. I heard things that there were no words. I mean, it's the realm of the spirit is just so full. And so what God wants us to do is to become, to trust the arena of the Spirit. Now, I've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to give you 7 steps to intercession. Each one of these steps to I believe, now these are what I found in my own life in the last many years, and this is, Sister Thelma, you don't take notes, Don or Brett, any of you intercessors, this is elementary for you guys, but it's not elementary for me. But in the process of it, one reason that God wants us to be able to experience the realm of the Spirit is because God knows that things must have intercession. I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason that the church is in the place that we are in, I really believe, is because we've lost our intercessors of the years gone by. Man, I was birthed with those little ladies with the little buns on the back of their head, on their knees, staying hours and interceding and praying. And intercession birthed things in my life as they intercede. I know that, you know, I wonder, I see some people that birth strong. I mean, when they come into Jesus all the way. And then you come in, you see another person coming to Jesus, and they're like a yo-yo. You know, yo-yo in, yo-yo out, yo-yo in, yo-yo out. And I say, well, how in the world did that happen to you? Something happened to me that was so miraculous. But I can't take glory for that. I have to go back to that little 30 people that gathered weekly, and they interceded for me. Those little ladies would kneel on their knees, and George, your mom was one of those that would get on their knees before God, and they just wasn't going to let this little kid that they saw go by in those cars, they wasn't going to let him go to hell. And God attached me in their heart, and they took me on their heart, and they were going to pray me in. Well, when I got saved, it happened strong like that. And so I just believe that anything that we need, and the reason that a lot of us can't handle things, it's not because we're not able, but we don't have we with us. It's us. We're just us trying to fight battles. It's just us trying to handle life. It's just us trying to get through. And God didn't intend it to be that way. God intended for us to have intercessors that would be drawn to us. And an intercessor is like like this. It's me trying to push against this boulder. But an intercessor comes along and says, Jerry, let me push my weight with your weight. And that intercessor began to push. And then somebody else will come. Then let me push my weight with your weight. And all of a sudden you get enough behind you that's able to push through anything that the devil would try to put in your way. And I believe that the reason that from the church that we've lost a lot of intercessors now, excluding our prayer meetings here, I enjoy every prayer meeting because I sense that sense of intercession that's associated with it. But the one reason I think that it has because we've lost the arena of the awareness of the Spirit. Prayer's gone boring. It's just got boring. We just try to do it one way. And because we try to do it one way. But see, when you really get in prayer, it's like you're like an eagle flying, man. I mean, you feel some things here and you sense some things here and God says some things to you here and you. Man, all of a sudden, you're out here and man, you're all covering areas and man, your wings are flying high and man, that wind's going by you and man, that's intercession. I love it. It's the best thing I do. I love to intercede because you're flying in it. You're flying in and you're moving in an awareness of the Spirit. But now, if you haven't learned to develop those sensitivities to the Spirit, then you're driving dullville. You know, you just it's dull. But if you've developed sensitivity to the Spirit. Man, I tell you what. Sometimes in a moment's time, you'll be weeping and crying. 5 minutes later, you're laughing. And 5 minutes later, I mean, you're sensing this pull inside you that is so deep. You feel like there's 20 million things trying to be pulled out of you. And then the very next moment, you know, a birth in the Spirit has taken place because there's great joy. I mean, it is a wonderful thing to be an intercessor. And I believe because we lost that over, a lot of us lost that over the number of years, we lost the awareness of the Spirit. And because prayer became dull. But God never meant it to be that. God meant, Jesus said, you're going to make it because I've interceded for you. I mean, that's powerful. Jesus said, you're going to make it. And how does the Bible say it until Paul said it, scripture I used to quote all the time and it hadn't been in a long time, but said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul said, you didn't make it the first time. He said, it's okay. I'm going to carry you into intercession. And this time I'm going to travail for you. And it's going to work this time for the glory of God. Can you say amen? It's time to stop. Lord, we thank you and we just give you praise for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, that brings such a change. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings a connection to us, Lord. A connection to the realm of the Spirit, Lord, that makes everything alive. It makes our prayer alive. It makes our relationship alive. It makes our commitments alive. It brings it all to life, Lord. So I thank you. Is there anyone here tonight that needs to ask the Lord about anything? It could be as simple as, Lord, I need to ask you to forgive me. Or it could be as complex as, Lord, I need you to tell me tonight what to do for the rest of my life. You're in one of those breaking points. But if there's anybody here tonight that needs to ask the Lord for anything, I just want you to stand. I'm just going to agree with you. I'm just going to agree with you. If you need to ask the Lord about anything, I believe we have a supernatural God that loves us in a supernatural way. And I believe that He just waits to put His arms around us. And He looks for those moments. He looks for those moments to embrace us. He looks for those moments to just love on us and love us. Lord, I join here with my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. And Lord, whatever is going on, whatever answer that they would need, whatever intervention that desperately needs to take place, Lord, whatever needs to be turned around or whatever needs to be changed or whatever needs to be helped, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for it right now with them. Let them know, Lord, that through the power of the Spirit, that they may be standing there and I'm standing here. But there's a Holy Spirit that's joining us and making us one as we pray. And that precious Holy Spirit is bringing an agreement between us and you to release miraculous help into our situations. So, Lord, by way of the Holy Spirit, with that person that is standing and with me standing here, I join with them. I come into agreement in the realm of the Spirit. Lord, that the Bible says, if two will agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I come into agreement. Lord, that one that's asking you to forgive them, my heart bears witness with them right now, Lord. I come into agreement that you're a forgiving God and that you're a loving God. Now, Lord, because we've given these moments to come into agreement spiritually, Lord, there's nothing we could make happen physically, so... So we're trusting in the realm of the Holy Spirit. We're trusting you, Holy Spirit, that you have brought this agreement that is sufficient to bring change, that is sufficient to turn things around, that is sufficient to help. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.